Kof Ches Ma'al Cheshvan, Tuesday the 13th of November, Rabbi Daniel Katz, How to Love Somebody Besides Yourself, A Deeper Look at Sinas Chinom.
Good morning, everybody. I was warned on the way into the class this morning, he said, you have to know, just so you know who you're speaking to, a lot of people are going to be on the phone the whole time. And I was like, you know, we live in an ADHD generation, people can't pay attention, people on the phone. I've been talking in campuses in England all week. A lot of chevra on the phone. So I was surprised to hear that people aren't on the phone. Well, at least not in the first 10 seconds of the class. Perhaps your phones will ring shortly. Apparently, actually meant they're on the phone. They're listening to Torah wherever they are. Mamash the Torah ways. Mamash a gevaldik thing. So I've been told I have 2.5 hours this morning to go a little deeper with you all. I thought I'd talk a little about the most redundant of all subjects. Avas Yisrael, and the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the love and the unity of Jewish people. I think it's for sure the most redundant of all subjects. We sit down to hear a Mishnah Berurah like we did. Oh, I didn't have that kahalacha before, I never understood it, now I understood it. So everybody already knows the importance of loving Yidden, of Achdus and Klal Yisrael. If I would ask you, you know, do you believe this is a good thing to do? Everyone would say, yeah, for sure. So it's why do we have to waste 29 more minutes on it? And the answer is because I'm always thinking, you'll forgive me for saying, that there's no singular subject, perhaps, which has more cognitive dissonance. You know what that term is? It's a very sophisticated term. I feel very sophisticated when I use it. It means that there's a, if Yisrael Salant would say, you know, there's no subject which has a greater distance between the head and the heart. Between something we know to be true, but we never ever do it. Because as much as we know when we tell a Geshmak Torah about, you know, Avos Yisrael, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, Yechan Sham Neged Aha, Kisha Chad Beleva, had all Klal Yisrael, they received the Torah, right? We've been a state of actors, the beauty of actors, but nevertheless, we know that unfortunately it's all too common that every Yid, wherever you live around the world, we have tainas of other Yidden. We have the shul that we daven in, the shul that we don't daven in. Everyone's heard the story, the joke 1,000 times, the Yid that got, you know, shipwrecked on a desert island, and he built for himself, you know, a little place to live in. He built for himself a little hut as a shul, and he built for himself a second hut of a shul. The first hut was the shul that he davened in, the second hut was the shul that he doesn't daven in. Every Yid has to have the resources, and we know that unfortunately it's a reality. Of course, I'm not talking about the people in front of me. I'm sure you're all hailing and you don't have these issues. We're talking about all the other people and all the other shuls around us. And we know that the Litvaks don't like the Hasidim, the Hasidim don't like the Litvaks, and none of them like the Sfardim, and all of us don't like the Chabadniks, and the Chabadniks don't like us. But at least our kippahs are black, and Chas v'Chalila, your kippah would be white, or a little fur in there somewhere. And everyone hates the Jews for Jesus, right? And they don't like us either. And this period, unfortunately, Maral says the definition of Golis is period. That separation comes in. Even right now in the office where you're listening right now in the room right now, I'm sure you'd say, right, obviously this doesn't apply to us, but right now I'm sure there's people in this room you have issues with. If I was asking one just right now to raise their hand, is this too interactive for this guy? Just raise your hand for a second, just put up your hand very high. Lift up your finger like this. So just to illustrate this point, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to count to three, and one, two, three, I want you to just point to the person in this room you don't get along with right now. Let's do that as an exercise. One, two, let's just, no, right, okay. Now please don't point at me, right. I'm the nice guy, at least for the first 30 minutes. You say his shit was a mess, I can't believe you brought him in. And then someone else, the pastor, the answer is, we're all geschmack, Yidden. But this happens automatically. This is what's called sinas chinam. The sinas chinam doesn't really make sense. I think Chazal made a big mistake on this. They said, you know, what destroyed the base of Middash? We know it's sinas chinam, base is hatred. I've been around the world, Baruch Hashem, I lecture all over the place. And I've met a lot of Yidden, a lot of shuls, a lot of kehillahs, a lot of ashkafas. And I'm happy to tell you, little heartening message this morning, that there's b'chlal no such thing as sinas chinam in the world. Baseless hatred. I've never met a Jew that hates another Jew for no reason. Everyone has many, many, many reasons why they don't like other Jews. You know the shul down the road that you don't get along with? If I say, well, why don't you like him? You never say, there's no reason at all. We've never come up with one. The teva of how our midas work, how our sefer works, is when we don't like someone, we start thinking of reasons. We start coming up with Mishnah Berurahs, with Shas, Gemara, Zohars, if we need to, we'll go very, very deep to find a makor. That's the teva of how our sefer works. It's the teva of how our consciousness works. There's no such thing as sinas chinam, because everyone says, are you involved in sinas chinam? Chas v'chalil, I would never do that. But they deserve it, because I'll tell you what they did wrong. So what were Chazal talking about? What was the warning about when they told us, be careful of Sinas Chinam, you'll destroy the world with Sinas Chinam? And the answer is, forgive me for saying the obvious, but I think sometimes we need a reframe. There's no such thing as baseless hatred, because I have many, many reasons which are valid, which a mamish mitzvah devises to apostle someone. Chazal was saying, of course you will have those things. And baseless hatred really means that the reasons that you think are reasons aren't reasons. Isn't that what Sinas Chinam means? It doesn't mean baseless as in there's no reason. It means every time you apostle a yid, you apostle a shul. It means you think that that's the right reason to apostle, because it's a mefarish shulchan aruch. But the answer is no. You can say, I don't agree with the ishkafa. You can say, that is not necessarily the ratzav Hashem. But if you feel a little cast, a little aggression, a little resistance, that you want to cut off, distance yourself from another yid, then that's going to be the sin eschinim. The reason you think is a reason is bechlal not a reason. Look, I finished early. That's what I wanted to say. Shir HaMalas. So I want to discuss a little today about how we work on this a little. There's a lot to say, more than you can possibly get it into 27 minutes. Rav Yisrael Salanter says that when a yid is oisik with a veiras, and that quote on the Sin Yetzer Hara, one of the ways to work on that is to increase their das, is to be ma'ayin in the sugya of that subject. So I learned back to the Chazals, and I learned the Midrashim, and I learned, you know, lahalacha, you know, all the inyanim around that. Because when I'm ma'abed das, I get clarity, I get clear, I get an understanding of the sugya, then I can look at my Yetzer and go, oh, that's chutz megavula kedusha. That's not appropriate here. The Baal Shem Tov, if I'm allowed to say those words here, he says, just by saying the pasuk, the mitzvah itself, the source of that idea in the Chumash, The pasuk itself, the kedusha of the aleph base, has a kedusha, and just by saying the pasuk has the chias, the energy that can help us metak in the midas that go connected it. So I want to spend a couple minutes this morning on behalf of the Leika Kumecha. We want to unravel at Sinas Chinam. We should be saying behalf of the Leika Kumecha, behalf of the Leika Kumecha. And I want to show in the godless of Torah, when Hashem says, love your fellow yid, like yourself, he's not just saying, shut up and love them. Yeah, but it's hard, because that you get, shut up and love them. Hashem never just like, we use the command, but you know, mitzvah also comes the word sav. Sav means, as the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, to join, to bond and connect. It means Hashem saying, it's appropriate that you love them. That love is shayach, even with that yid, that we don't connect with. So I want to show you that in this phrase, this extraordinary phrase, is not just the order, the command, the demand to do the thing, but it also has buried within the words the secret of what stops us psychologically from doing the thing. And then if you twist the words over one more time, which we're going to do in the next few minutes, you're going to see amazingly, it's a modic thing, that not only is it, say, the command, not only does it tell us what blocks it, it tells us how to turn around that block and actually do it. So I want to deconstruct this phrase together. V'hafta l'reicha k'meicha. Now, what does it mean, pshat, like yourself? What does it mean, like yourself? A lot of yidden said, I do like Jews like myself. I hate other Jews. I also hate myself. So mamash makayim the pasuk. So pshat, see the Sfarno, I believe the Ibn Ezra, like yourself means as much as you want good for another yid, much as you want good for yourself, want that much good for another yid. That means as much as you want the last piece of kugel on the plate, by the tish, by the kiddush, you know, and you've already had only 7 or 8 pieces of kugel before that moment, and the person's walking for the first time, but I've got my eye on the kugel. And as much as you're willing to, you know, push the person out of the way or stab them in the hand with a plastic fork to finally get that piece of kugel, then you see when that person also wants the kugel, they're also hungry to begin to think, be my eye in about how the other person is thinking, how the other person is feeling. And to start to think, you know, what does my wife want? Well, what would I want if I was my wife, if I was overwhelmed, if I was tired and exhausted, I want a little attention. Gee, I wouldn't want that. Sometimes I also want attention. Well, I realize that's what she wants, to think what you need for yourself. And realize that that's probably what other people need as well. Like yourself. Rav Dessler goes deeper, and we don't have time to go into Rav Dessler. It's a famous Rav Dessler. I remember learning this for many, many years. Every shiva I went to, everyone said the famous Rav Dessler. He says the root of Ava, everyone knows, is have. Have means in Aramaic to give. It's very interesting that in English, have means what we take. But in Torah, have means what we give. Because what you give is really what you have. But what you take and try and hold on to, for sure you'll lose. And Rav Dessler says that the primary love that we all have in the world is self-love. Inherently, we all love ourselves. So he says, you know, don't think of that as a terrible thing. Think of that as a wonderful thing. He would say, use that as leverage. Everybody knows that anything you invest in, you come to love. You help build a shul, you give some money, you give support, you come and daven, you come and identify yourself as part of that kehillah. Eventually, you come to love that kehillah. Take a person, says Rav Dessler, that you don't connect to, that person in the kehillah you don't like so much. Rather, you see, love, hate, always comes from being merachek, from distancing, you versus me. I am different from you. He says, the way you turn that around, he says, love flows in the direction of giving. That who you give to, you. This is what he says, you take yourself and you invest yourself in another person. And therefore, that person has hatzlacha, that person has bracha because of your investment. And you say, wow, you see their success? That's because I helped them. And through that, a love is formed. That means you take a person you don't connect, you say, what do they need? Can I get them a tea in the morning? Can I get them a coffee in the morning? Can I get a gemara off the shelf? Can I put the gemara back on the shelf if they left it on the table? Do they need help with a shidduch? Do they need help with panasa? You start to go against your teva, start to see somebody before yourself, and you give to them, and that lifts our eyes a little out of the God, a little out of the self-focused world, and we begin to invest, and we begin to create a connection, a bond, a kesha. Love flows in the direction of giving. This is what he's saying. How do you love your neighbor? How do you love your fellow yid? Use your self-love. Invest that into another person, another organization, something else. Help them out. And when they have success, you go, oh, see, that's because of me. But now you've invested yourself in someone else. Think if there's someone in your life you could do that to. I'll stop and wait. That's my dramatic pause as I drink some tea. It's something we could really do. There are many, Rav Dessler, or the Svarim all say, we know that ahava is numerical value, echad, one. Because through giving, the shorosh of ahava, have, through giving we create achdus, unity. There's many mahalachim, the different rabbanim say, about how to create ahava between yidin. You can invest, you can work, you can write lists. I know a big rav in Yerushalayim, he spent every night when he got home, he wrote down three words of the day, something, you know, something good, some tov, he saw in his wife. And every day he wrote down just three words. She's kind, she's sincere, she's open, she's vulnerable, she's accepting, she's forgiving, she's generous. And he just wanted to write lists and lists to remember to increase his love, because in the nature of a yid, we're working, we're busy, and we forget. We forget to be ma'ayin, to create an ava, to be ma'ayin an ava. A person has to be ma'ayin constantly, an ayin tov, and list in their mind, what are the good qualities, what does the person need, to begin to appreciate, because if we go back to our status quo, we forget, we become blind, we become unconscious. There are any many aces you've probably read books about, by Zelig Plistigan, I believe, has a wonderful book on the subject of Avis Yisrael. How you work, how your amal and your gear in the subject of creating love. But I want to tell you something a little deeper today. Something maybe you haven't been ma'anin yet, probably most of you have been, so good. The Chazar is also good. Everything that I learned on this point about giving, about investing, about building an ayin tov, writing lists if need be, that was all geschmack. Love flows in the direction of giving. But there was something that happened, a moment in my life, which caused me to question all of this. And it was the birth of my first child. Now, I'm not sure different fathers have different experiences, but I was one of those fathers. I'm a little bit emotional sometimes, sometimes in a good way, sometimes not such a good way. But when I held my child in my arms for the first time, I fell head over heels in love. Not everyone gets it in the first 10 seconds. Some people it takes them a whole minute and a half. Some men, a little stronger, it takes them a year and a half to break through that. But we get there in the end. You know the feeling I mean? That I would give anything for this individual. And that I felt like that when I put down my baby boy for the first time, walked out of the room, I was like dreaming about him. My heart was given over to him. And I remember feeling at that moment, it was like such an expansion of Ava. I remember feeling at that moment, oh, I never knew there was a love in the world like this that's so strong. And it doesn't go away. A father knows that love only increases. There's many people we love. Sometimes we get married and we feel strong kesher to a wife, but we get back to life and it's not always there every day. But for children, often it can be there for a long time. And when I heard that, I ran back to Rami Rebbeim and I ran back to this farm and I said, forgive me for saying, you lied to me. Because you said love comes through giving. And I've never met this child before. Okay, so I helped my wife through a pregnancy as much as the average man does. But I didn't really give. I didn't really invest. There's Tal Minim I've invested hours and years in building, and I love them deeply, but of course everything would move aside for love I had for the child. So how can it be without the Amal and Yagia for the sake of the lover? Where did that love come from? And when I went back deep and asked my Rabbanim, I looked back in the Sfarim, I realized there's not one kind of love, there's two kinds of love. There's one kind of love that's trained, that's built, that's conditioned, that's developed. And there's another kind of love which is inherent, which is automatic. And that is even more overwhelming and more positive. And by reading deeper into the Sfarim, what I found was an unbelievable revelation. The love that a Jew has, a Yid has to another Yid, is not even really supposed to be something that comes out of hard work. It's supposed to be that automatic love. It's supposed to be an inherent love. And I want to explain to you how that could be. It's like the same love, the mystics say, it's the same source, how we love Hashem. How do you teach a Yid to love Hashem? I work a little in Kiryat Vechaikim. How do you teach a Yid? You give him proofs. You show him a book. Here's the discovery program. What's the answer to the question? A Yid already loves Hashem. A Yid's neshama is Hashem. His whole chiyus goes after Hashem. He just doesn't realize. He's not makir that part of his das, which would give him that opportunity. You just have to remind him of what he knows to be true. How do you love another Yid? You have to realize, you have to remember there's a part of you like that. Now, I understand that's easier said than done. And I want to read you a little what the Sfarim say very fast. Here's the secret. This is how they break it down. I know you know these things. So fine, we're doing Chazara. The Sfarim HaKadosh say, here's one example. Nikul kol Yisrael achim mamash. All the Jewish people are called brothers mamash, only according, mitzad, shurish, nafshem, b'shem, achad. According to their root, their holy root, their neshama, which is unified in Hashem. But their bodies, but the nefesh of behemoth, are separate. We love Yidden, our souls love Yidden, our souls are unified with Yidden, but our bodies, nefesh, behemoth, we see them as competition, different, separate. And therefore, the Sefer says, listen very carefully, a person that sees themselves, how do you perceive your own self? Do you see yourself as a neshama or you see yourself as a goof? He says, if you see yourself as a goof, you'll always see Jews as separate. But if you would realize that you're a neshama, you would automatically feel an inherent connection. And as fast as possible, now what does that mean? What does that mean that we have an inherent connection? I don't feel an inherent connection. Okay, if I worked a little hard, I like a Jew. Most of the time, I don't like Jews. Theoretically, hishkafically, I do. But for my sir, move out of my way. So what does that mean, A, that we have inherent love? I don't see that. And B, what does that mean if I see myself as a body? What's the body? What's the goof we're referring to? What's the nefesh of Bahamas referring to? This is the fastest I've ever taught anything in my life, so bear with me. Once, I had a beautiful experience on Sukkot in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure you've been to Yerushalayim for Sukkot. There's Sukkot everywhere. Sukkot, you know, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. So Yerushalayim is Sukkot are here, Sukkot is there, Sukkot is everywhere. And like and on top of the buildings, on the rooftops, when you walk through the little courtyards where I live, you have to literally go through a maze of sukkahs. And I remember seeing the sukkah one year, some chevah over, and we're singing some very deep songs. It's very beautiful when you walk back during sukkahs, all the sukkahs, everyone's singing their songs in the chuppah. It's very beautiful. And the sukkah, bechinas chuppah, and the sukkahs, everyone's singing their songs. And I remember singing one group one year, and we were singing, we were getting a lot of His Love, it was a very beautiful song. And I realized in the middle of the song, I was very passionate, very excited, and I realized it was a bit nebuch, because everyone's singing different songs. Why are we all singing different songs? We should be all singing together, mamish, no? So suddenly I banged on the table, and I stopped everyone, shh! And everyone's like, you know, upper chorus, you can't break a song in the middle of this building, how can you do that? And I said, shh, listen, and I pointed to a sukkah, which is like up there in a balcony, like, listen to the song, and they were singing. And I said, and we started singing with them. And it was very beautiful. We were singing, they were singing. I weren't sure yet if they realized that we were singing with them. So then at the end of the song, we started a new song just to see. And then they came with us. It's like, this is gewaltig. So we got to, now we have to conquer sukkah by sukkah. So I've got a Sephardi brethren over there. And I don't know any of these Sephardi songs. They're a little weird to me. But this one song happens to be one of those songs that everyone knows. Right? And I said, let's go, right? So then we jumped into their song, and they came with us, and all of us are singing. And then I heard our neighbors over there start to sing as well, because they realized what was happening. In my mind, it was a little cartoon. All the sukkahs were kind of bouncing back and forward and singing together. And I felt this incredible experience of, you know, simcha. And it occurred to me, and I'm going to say something very silly now, but it's a very deep zah. It occurred to me, this is so geschmack, this is so wonderful. Why don't we do this all the time? These are my neighbors. We live in the same house all year, the same building all year. Why is the first time we do this on sukkah? Is it because of the schach? What's it because of? And the answer is, you'll forgive me for saying something very obvious. It's because during the year we are singing, but we just can't hear each other. I can't hear them. Why? Because they're in the houses. Why? Because they're behind thick walls and thick farm shelves. And in America, in England, Baruch Hashem, we have the gardens, we have the fences, we have the swimming pools and the tennis courts. I'm not sure where you come from, right? And there's so much yeshus. There's so much thickness, density that separates one to another. I can't even hear my brother singing. I can't even hear the family singing. But the time of Sukkah is when we strip away all the chitzonius. We go out into the world without our expensive things and our bits and pieces and our thick walls. When we strip down the yesh, the guf, suddenly it's just one neshama singing to another neshama. I want to explain to you how this works in Kabbalah. 6 minutes. Good luck. You don't mind if I go over 25 minutes? That's okay, right? Listen very carefully how this works. What does it mean there's inherent love? I don't know what it means inherent love. I thought we said the only inherent love I have is self-love. And what is this stuff that gets in the way? What are these thick walls, this yeshus that gets in the way? Listen very carefully, as fast as I can. All the secrets are buried in the words. V'ahavta l'reicha kameicha. Question number one. V'ahavta l'reicha kameicha. What is the word for friend in the term v'ahavta l'reicha kameicha? Reya. Reish ayin. Now, if I ask anyone what's the Hebrew word for friend, they're usually going to say chaver. So it's a very interesting choice of terminology that Hashem chose here. Why is the pasuk not v'ahavta l'chavareicha kameicha? That's usually a more commonly used term. Why did Hashem choose the word reish ayin? Why did he ditch chaver and go for reya? So let's break this down. Reish ayin is a very interesting word. First of all, we know there's lots of, the reish ayin has lots of different expressions, lots of different ideas which have the same shorash. First of all, there's the word teruah. To when we blow a shofar from Rosh Hashanah, is teruah, shorash reish ayin. The second is the word to break, tera'im b'shevet bazel, as we say in Tehillim. It means to break or to shatter. I will break something with an iron rod. Next is the reish ayin also means roi, a shepherd. Another term reish ayin means is Hashem. Rashi says in the Gemara, and also Hashem roi lo echsa. Hashem is my shepherd that I shall not want. I shall not lack, more accurately. So it's also reish ayin is the word for evil. Isn't that interesting that the same word for Jewish friend is someone who's evil? That's a riot that all the people around you are evil, right? It's mamash mefarish in the Lord. So we have reish ayin is the word for evil, is the word for sometimes Hashem, that's already apparently a steerer, is the word for shepherd, is the word for break, is the word for blow. How do we understand these things? Because we know when something, that the letters are the DNA of the thing. So if different terms have the same DNA, you never say there's two different people with the same DNA. If there's the same DNA, it must be the same essential person. So it must be all these ideas are somehow connected the same. And here's the teretz, here's the relationship. Basic question. Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there difficulty? Why is there pain? Why do we have to make panasa? Why do people cry? Why do people hurt themselves? If Hashem is perfect, why didn't He make a perfect world? Teretz. He did. But we blew it. What happened in the chet of Adam and Chava is that Hashem had a perfect world, but we blew and we broke the world. And all the suffering today is as a tikkun, as an atonement, as us doing tshuva for what Adam and Eve did. But then a person can ask, so they did the mistake, why should we suffer? And the teretz to that is very obvious, I know that you know. You can see in many of the Svam Kedoshim, Moshe and Tema Devorah, if you want one example. It's because all our neshamas, all our souls, are really part of Adam Arishan. And really we have a unified soul. And so a neshama klali means we are all somehow connected to the original Adam. And a person knows, chas v'chalila, if they commit an aveira, that many parts of our body, many parts of our consciousness, are oisek an aveira. My machshav, the hihurim, the thought about it, my mouth that spoke, my hand that reached out to do it, my legs that ran to do it. So when Adam committed the original chet, what happened is many parts of him were involved and each part needed a distinct form of tshuva, of tikkun, to fix what happened then. So the singular essence of Adam was fractured and broken down into multiple pieces, multiple neshamas, multiple life experiences. And every single one of us is here in our lives to metakan, to align, to fix, to elevate some of the original issue that was created by Adam then. But we know at the end of the day there's going to be a thing called Kibbutz Galias. Now what does Kibbutz Galias mean? The ingathering of the exiles. What does the ingathering of the exiles means? You know, I always say, if you're in business and you're looking for guaranteed shares, something that's going to definitely go through the roof, I always recommend people to buy shares in El Al. Because at the end of the day, as we know, every Jew is going to get on a plane around the world. They're going to do tshuva, so for sure they want real kosher meals. Where else are they going to go but El Al? And they're going to come back. And this is Tzichis Amesim, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Everyone's coming back. That's Kibbutz Agalias. But you know what the Sfarim HaKadoshim say? Something Moedic. That's not the true Kibbutz Agalias. The true Kibbutz Agalias is when Hashem is after all Tzichis Amesim, and after all Mashiach is here, and after all the process, Hashem is going to take all the separate neshamas, every single one of our life experiences, and He's going to unite them back together into one consciousness, into the original Koyim HaShalema of Adam and Rishon. And therefore, what does it mean, v'ahavta l'reicha kamecha? Why should you love another Jew like yourself? What's the tet? Because they are yourself. You just can't see that right now. Because we're in a state of pivot. We're in a state of broken and fractionless. But we are one thing that broken down into many pieces. And we're going to have to resurrect that, rebuild that, reconstruct that to a whole. Therefore, love your fellow yid like yourself, because they are, but we're broken down. What does the definition mean of reish ayin? Reish ayin, listen very carefully, always means, always hints to something that is a whole when it gets broken down into separate elements. That's the rule. Very fast, I'll give you the example. Shofar, teruah. So we know the first one we have is tekiah. Teruah. Etc. Tekiah. Singularity, whole, unified, broken down, fractured, recreated, resurrected as a whole. Tera'im b'shevet brazel. I will break and shatter into multiple pieces. You hear it? With the iron rod. Evil. Taiva mavakish yifrad. The nifrad. The essence of what evil is, it breaks us, it shatters us, it disconnects us, fractures us from Hashem. It fractures us psychologically within ourselves. It's a lot to think about there. A shepherd, what does a shepherd do? Why all the great leaders of Klai Yisrael shepherds? Why is a tzaddik like into a shepherd? Because they take all the bits and pieces, the separate elements, and unite them and guide them and build them together. So why did Hashem use v'ahavta l'reicha kamecha? Why did Hashem not use v'ahavta l'chavareicha kamecha? If I had time, I'd let you think about it, but we don't have time to think today. The answer is very deeply. You ask a person, do you love Yidden? They always say, for sure I love Yidden. I love my wife, I love my family, I love my shul. What about them? They're the Yidden that I don't like. The mitzvah of l'havdil reicha kamecha, what does the word cheva mean? Cheva means chibur, bonded, joined, connected. You see, there's two kinds of Yidden. There's a Yid that you see yourself as bonded. I have shaykhus Yid, I love this Yid, this is my kind of Yid. And there's everyone else, which I'm not connected with. I have all the sinus human, why I don't connect with them, etc. So Hashem says, v'ahavta l'reicha kamecha. Why does Hashem not say, v'ahavta? Hashem says, v'ahavta l'reicha. Why does Hashem not say, v'ahavta l'chava reicha kamecha? Hashem says, don't love the Jews that you love. There's no mitzvah in loving the kahila that you love, loving the Jews that love, loving that one rabbi that you love. Hashem says, take the Yidden that you don't love, that you don't connect to. They take the reya, b'ahavta l'chava, take the person that looks separate from you, distinct from you, different from you, and see that they are like yourself. So what does it mean the only love is inherent love? But this is still hands. Because inherent love, the only love is self-love, is because they really are yourself. See them as yourself. See the separate as like you. Last step, 1 minute. So what's the yeshus? What's the nefesh of Bahamas? What's the goof that makes us look different? The answer to that question, my friends, is very simple. Here's an exercise you can do today. I don't really think you'll do it. It's just my job to say that. Think about one Jew that you love in the world, that you most love, that you most respect, that you most connect to, that you'd love to be around. If you're stranded on a desert island, chas v'chalila, that's the Jew you want to be with. Not like Moshe Feinstein, not like the God of the world, someone you know in your life. If I were to ask you, be Miss Boydain for 10 seconds. What is it you love about this person? He's geschmack. Why? He's stark. He's a masmid. He's not a masmid. He's a bal chesed. He's sympathetic, compassionate. He's strict. He's whatever it is. If you were pin, what that was. And if I ask you a very simple question, look at yourself. Is that a midah that you like in another person? Something that you most like about yourself or most want to be? Almost 100% of people say yes. Which means, why do you like that person? Because they're a reflection of myself. Which means, what do you see in this person? You don't really see that person. You see yourself. Unfortunately, that's true in reverse. If I were to ask a person, who's the person you least like? Not like an axe-wielding homicidal maniac. not a Russia mamash, just a person that's a good yet, he's a fun yet, he's a mashal. I just don't connect to him, he irritates me, I have a problem with him. If I were to ask you, define for me what is the issue, he's a balgaiva, he's not a masmid, whatever. If I were to say to you, look within yourself, is that an issue you have within yourself? This is not my chiddush. Hakol hapasul, mamum hapasul. Gemara, kedushin. Daf ayin. Why do you write off another yid? Because they are reflecting back what I don't like about myself. And because I hate that issue with myself, I judge myself and I judge them. If you say this is not true for me, I ask you a very simple question. I'm wrapping up, it's okay. A very simple question. There's many people in the world which have issues. Every yid I've met has issues. Except for me, I'm for sure perfect. People that speak in public, they're the perfect ones. Everyone else, you have issues. So if I say to you, why does that person's problem bother you? Why does that person jump out of God? They've got an issue, but you tolerate everyone else's. It's because somehow they're triggering something within you, some kind of year and a fuller within you. So when you see what's happening, it's a yeshus, it's a nefesh of Bahamas, it's my issues that block me from liking other yin. And it's my self-love that causes me to see other yin. So here's the secret, you ready? Last line. Therefore, the best way to learn to love another yid is learn to love yourself. Yeah, I could be more of a masmid for sure. And I don't like that guy because he's slack. He never comes to say to the lady. He leaves early. He's on his phone the whole time. Fine. But really, it's because I need to be more of a masmid. And I'm worried. I'm concerned about myself. So what would be the best way to learn to love that yid? If you could, and I'm going to say something much heretical. If you could accept yourself that you're not a masmid, chas v'chalila. I didn't say that's your goal. I just said, okay, Hashem loves me now. And I'm going to look to work on that, but I don't judge myself. I don't hate myself. I don't criticize myself. I say, good, it's there. I'm going to work on that. If you could come to love and accept that part of you, you would automatically love that person. Listen very carefully. This is in the pasuk. Va'ahavta ulecha kamocha. If reish ayin means friend, but reish ayin also means evil, bad, negativity, then you could read the same pasuk as, and you should love and accept your negativity as part of who you are. I'm not being that because I'm not saying that you're done. I'm just saying, but don't judge yourself, hate yourself. And if you did that, you didn't criticize yourself, then automatically, psychologically, you wouldn't criticize someone else around you. Therefore, all love is inherent. A person would love a Jew automatically. What blocks us from seeing other Jews? The things that blocks us within ourselves. Do you hear it? My time's up. Thank you. Have a gewaltig day. Thank you.